Yom HaShoah. There really aren't the right words to describe the challenges of this day, to remember an event that was so huge as Holocaust Memorial Day. I want to read you a piece from Elie Wiesel, from the book Night. If you've never read this book, it was actually, to the best of my knowledge, his first book post-Holocaust. It's appropriate to think about Elie Wiesel this year, because this is our first Yom HaShoah without Elie Wiesel. One day, when we came back from work, we saw three gallows rearing up in the assembly place. Three black crows. Roll call. SS all around us. Machine guns trained. The traditional ceremony. Three victims in chains. And one of them, the little servant, the sad-eyed angel. The SS seemed more preoccupied, more disturbed than usual. To hang a young boy in front of thousands of spectators was no light matter. The head of the camp read the verdict. All eyes were on the child. He was very pale, almost calm, biting his lips. The gallows threw its shadow over him. This time the Lagerkapo refused to act as executioner, and three SS had to replace him. Lagerkapo was a Jewish prisoner responsible for those. The three victims mounted the chairs together. Three necks placed in the nooses at the same moment. "Long live liberty!" cried the two adults, but the child was silent. "Where is God? Where is he?" someone behind me asked. And then at a sign from the head of the camp, the three chairs were tripped over. Total silence throughout the camp. On the horizon, the sun was setting. If you didn't look, you could be shot on the spot. "Bare your heads!" shouted the head of the camp, his voice raucous. We were weeping. "Cover your heads!" And then the march past the victims began. The two adults were no longer alive. Their tongues were swollen, blue-tinged. But the third rope was still moving. The child, weighing so little, was still alive. For more than an hour he stayed there, struggling between life and death, dying in slow agony under our eyes. We were forced to look at him full in the face. He was still alive when I passed in front of him. His tongue was still red, his eyes not yet glazed. And behind me I heard the same man asking, "Where is God now? Where is he?" And I heard a voice within me answer him, "Where is he? Here he is. He is hanging here on these gallows." I've often thought about this story, always wondering what Elie Wiesel meant, or what we're supposed to get from whatever he intended. Did he mean that if this could happen, if a 10-year-old boy could be tortured to death in a public hanging in front of 30,000 Jewish concentration camp prisoners, then God must be dead? Or did he mean that even here, even in Auschwitz, even on a gallows where a 10-year-old boy is hanging, God is still here? And I think at a certain level, asking that question, sitting here in the Rova Square of the Old City, beneath the shul, the Churva Synagogue, that was magnificently rebuilt a number of years ago, which stood in ruins for nearly 50 years, destroyed in the Six-Day War, you sit here in the Rova Yudi in Medinat Yisrael, and the question becomes all the more difficult. Which God is it that we seek to reach? Is Hashem the God of the Holocaust? Is Hashem the God of Medinat Yisrael? Is Hashem both? This question really speaks to another issue, which is, how do we deal with this? How do we respond to the world of Auschwitz and Treblinka? You know, there's one of the things that we discuss on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't do Mevarchim Tachodesh, right? We don't bless the new moon. There are all sorts of strange midrashim. There's a Zohar trying to trick the Satan, Satan, whatever. And Chazal refer to the days of Yom HaDin as Almadit Kasya, the world that is hidden over. Because sometimes the world seems so dark, you're not meant to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you deal with this? Is suffering part of God's plan? Does it all come from God, we just can't understand it? Or does suffering prove that it must be all random? Because how could any deity that we choose to want a relationship with allow such a thing to happen? So, there are two conflicting Gemaras. Some of us have spoken about this in the past, right? That seem to struggle with this question. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hei. Who here learned Brachos this year? Okay, so you'll remember this Gemara, right? Rav Avitam or Rav Chizda, Im roe adam shisorin bain alav yepashpesh benasav, shenema nachpasad da'achinu v'nachkora. Right? If a person sees that travail is affecting him, he's suffering. Yepashpesh benasav. What does that mean? Yepashpesh benasav. You should leaf through, literally lepashpesh. You should leaf through your deeds like a book. Look through the book of your life. See what you did wrong. Now, what is the obvious implication of that?
Suffering because Jesus said.
Right? If you suffer, you obviously did something wrong. You're being punished. That's a really, really difficult thing to say. So visit a cancer ward. Go into the pediatric oncology ward. Find a family with a 4-year-old kid who seems to be dying of cancer. And explain to the parents, you need to figure out what terrible sins you're doing because God's punishing you. So that's ridiculous. How could you live in a world like that? But that's what the Gemara says. Yisurin over naladam, yipashpesh b'masav. If you suffer, go through your leaf like a book. So fortunately, the Gemara doesn't leave us there. The Gemara in Moed Katan,